And every day that he went to work, he drove by the sign. And every day he went by the work, he said, I'm not going to think about that sign today. And the more he tried to stop himself thinking about it, the more the message got into his heart. He couldn't run away from the message of the gospel.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Mark's desire is to share the message of the gospel with you wherever you are today. Perhaps you're having an easy day or a tough day, a day of joy or a day of sadness. But the Lord's word is always a word of comfort, a word of strength, a word of help. And it is that quick and powerful word that divides asunder the very issues of life. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. And it's my joy to bring you the Lord's word today. We're going to be looking at part two of the message, that Old Testament prodigal Manasseh, his conversion, his reformation, his returning unto God. We have the hymn Amazing Grace, and of course the gospel is God's story of amazing grace. Our question now is, how do you answer people who trust in forms of transcendental meditation? I am perplexed at the number of people in our country here in Canada who are using various forms of really Eastern religious meditation to try and bolster their life and bring them into some form of peace. Well, it's unchristian. The Bible is a Bible of revelation of God. It is a revelation of God's truth. And we're told to be not conformed to this world, but we are to renew our minds with the Word of God. The Christian gospel is not about emptying our minds. It is about filling our minds with truth. And as opposed to emptying our minds, the Christian is to take God's Word and to fill his minds with that truth, biblical truth. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul went on in Philippians chapter 2 to examine the life of the Lord Jesus, that though he was God, yet he thought it not robbery to humble himself, to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so our meditation is to be upon the revealed truth, the life of the Lord Jesus, his statements, his examples, and of course his cross. And as we meditate on those things, we will find peace to our souls. We're to have a Christ-like mind. We are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, speaking to one another, exhorting one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So our worship unto God is not with empty minds, but rather we are to fill our minds with the knowledge of God's truth. We're commanded to have the word of Christ, to teach, to admonish, and to minister grace unto us. Another important Bible text on this is Ephesians chapter 6, the picture of the Christian soldier. He is to take the helmet of salvation to protect his mind. Again, it's not an emptying of the mind, but it is a fortifying of the mind that we might stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil, and that we should put on the whole armor of God, be in a state of readiness to arm ourselves against the wicked devices of the enemy. And that is so important. And I trust that this answer will be a guide to you today, and that you will get your Bible and fill your mind with God's truth. One of the greatest things a Christian can do is to memorize the Scriptures and let that word dwell in you richly. Now, as I mentioned earlier, our message today is part two of Manasseh, this Old Testament prodigal conversion, and we'll be turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. But firstly, our hymn, Amazing Grace. May the Lord draw near and minister to your heart today. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast, and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Our message today from the pulpit of our church is on Manasseh, 2 Chronicles chapter 33. This is the Old Testament prodigal, wonderfully, gloriously saved. I trust you'll be blessed and challenged through His Word today.
Is there any hope? Well, I want us to look now at the extent of His opportunity. We've had the extent of His obstinacy. We see here the extent of His opportunity. In verse 1, you'll notice that He had opportunity to repent during the majority of His 55 years in reigning. When he came to the throne, his father had things set up for godly worship and godly witness in Judah. And every day that this king Manasseh was on the throne, he had to fight the very things of his father. And so for a whole lifetime, all these years that he was reigning, there was opportunity, but he was turning it all down. He was given mercy after mercy after mercy. And what a long reign he was given. 55 years. Hey, that's a long time to be reigning on a throne. Most kings never reigned that long. But the one who defied God the most had one of the longest reigns. Now, hey, is that mercy? What age are you today? How many years have you heard the gospel? How many opportunities have been afforded you to know God's way of salvation? From a little child, from Sunday school, from early adult life, you've known the way. But you've dismissed it, rejected it, and been obstinate to it for so long. And here today you are, mercy extended again. The offer of salvation again. Now, he had opportunity to repent during the pleas of God's prophets. In the verse 10, you will say, the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people. You know, the mark of a man who's abandoned when God stops speaking to him. You remember the psalmist's words? Be not silent to me, O Lord, lest I be like them that go down to the pit. The mark of a man who has lost God is when God stops speaking. But we read here in Manasseh's life and wicked reign, God kept speaking. He kept sending messengers and prophets and pleading with his soul. And all of that were the opportunities of God's mercy. In the midst of all that, he had opportunity to repent, even in the thorns. When it was evident that God was chastising and God was dealing with him, and when he was in the thorns, he had an opportunity to repent. But he didn't. He didn't. It was not until he was back in Babylon. It was not until he was in affliction in Babylon that there was any change or turning in his life. You know what's a wonderful thing? The Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, salvation is not of this place. There's coming a day when it's not going to be Jerusalem. It's not going to be any place. And here's King Manasseh. He's in Babylon. He's in the center of wicked ungodliness, where heathen worship trumps everything else. And he's in affliction, most likely in a slave's cell, and God stops him. And there God's mercy reaches him. That tells me there's nowhere in this world that God can't save your soul. I've heard of people who came to Canada, immigrated to Canada, to get away from the gospel, to get away from a godly heritage, Christian parents' influence. They wanted to be free. And so they thought of Canada, had an opportunity to come and work and live here to get away from the gospel. I know of a man, he used to be an elder in our Calgary church. He came to Canada for that very reason. And he ended up in Ontario driving quite a distance to work every day. And along the highway was a large gospel sign. Ye must be born again. And every day that he went to work, he drove by the sign. And every day he went by the work, he said, I'm not going to think about that sign today. And the more he tried to stop himself thinking about it, the more the message got into his heart. He couldn't run away from the message of the gospel. And while you're in this world, there is no place that God cannot save your soul. Even Jonah was saved and repented in the belly of the fish under the sea. So don't you think that there's any place on earth that the Lord cannot save you. And that's the opportunity that's extended to you today. The Lord Jesus said that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Not the good, but the fallen. And he said that the harlot and the publican enters into the kingdom of God before the professed Pharisee and the self-righteous. You are not beyond God's salvation today. There's mercy. You can be saved. You can be converted. Then there's the extent of his repentance. We come now to this wonderful change in Manasseh's life. Verse 13. And it tells us in verse 12 that in affliction he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Oh, what a change. He humbled himself greatly, and so he should. What shame must have filled his heart. What horror at the thought of the sins that he had committed. And I've done this in my folly and in my rebellion to the living God. And he humbled himself greatly. Now, this is involved a realization of the wickedness that he had practiced, and it caused him to confess that he himself was the cause of it all. Don't start blaming somebody else. Don't say, well, it's the way I was raised. It's my mom's fault. She didn't nurture me well enough. It's my father. He was a very angry man. And that's what happened to me. Oh, don't you blame your sin on someone else. Your sin is your accountability, and you will answer for it. And here he is. You can see that he's looking into his own heart, and he sees the rottenness of it. He sees the vileness of his own life, and he humbles himself. That's what repentance is to hate the sins you've done before, and so repent that you will do so no more. He was driven to his knees to pray, verse 13, and prayed unto him, and was entreated of him, and heard his supplication. He prayed. How do you get saved? You pray. You come to the Lord with those words of confession, and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. I am worthy of destruction, but I come for mercy, and I plead for salvation. And don't forget about the blood when you're praying. Your way of access to God is by the blood of Jesus. And when you plead on the terms of the blood, your prayer will be heard. That's the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus. And note how God was entreated. God heard him. God heard his cry. How did he know? When God delivered him out of Babylon and brought him back to Jerusalem, there was liberty. And he was back as king again. My, the history of that must have been amazing. A man who blew it all, sinned to the greatest degree, repented, pleaded for mercy, and was led back to the throne of power again. You see, when you become a Christian, you are restored. You're not just put into a vacuum and forgotten. There's a new life, a new purpose, a new work to be done. And this man knew that the Lord had heard his prayer when he had called upon the Lord. And I assure you today that if you call on the Lord to save your soul, that you will know that restoration of heart. You will know that work of grace in your soul. And the Lord will lift you up, and he'll bless you, and he'll keep you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be your God for all eternity. Will you trust him today? Will you come now in your great need? It's a late hour in your life, but there's still mercy. And repent and pray. And praise God, you can be saved. I come then to the extent of this man's obedience after conversion. You see, one of the great things about this King Manasseh is that he was saved and everybody knew it. Everybody knew that he was saved. We read here that, verse 14, now after this he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering of the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. The walls were broken down. Manasseh became a wall builder. He was a separatist. He believed in keeping the enemy out, and he believed in keeping sin out. And that's what happens when you get saved. You build the walls of separation in your life. The world is on the outside, and you and the things of God are on the inside. Are you doing that? Maybe you are a new Christian. Maybe you're a young professing Christian. Are you building the walls against the world? You'll notice that he fortified the cities. It says in that verse, and he put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. He fortified the cities. He made them strong against the enemy. And of course, if we take this spiritually, every new Christian needs to be built up in his faith. It's not a time to be slack. It's not a time to be at ease. It's a time to be building, fortifying, getting a hold of God's word, getting these truths into your heart, building yourself up in the faith, getting stronger in the Lord, that you might resist all the forces of darkness against your soul. In verse 15, He also purged the house of God. Now, remember what he did when he was unconverted. He brought the abominations into the house of God. Here he's doing the opposite. He took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. You know, Manasseh was a radical Christian. He didn't set out to compromise with idolatry and false worship. He didn't seek a middle ground. He saw those things that were wicked, and he cast them out. That is the mark of a real convert. And when we become a Christian, we get saved. Every one of us have things that we need to cast out, to be totally done with. When I was a new Christian, I was involved in our area in what we called the Young Farmers Society. It was, in some ways, innocent, but there were activities, dances, company that were worldly and ungodly. No one ever came to me and said, "Ian, now that you're a Christian, you need to step out of that life." No one ever came to me and said, "It's wrong to go there." But I was saved a very short time, and I remember going along and saying that I've become a Christian, and I can't be a part of this Young Farmers organization anymore. The Lord gave me grace. The Lord helped me to tell them that now I was a Christian, I couldn't live the way I lived before. I'm thankful to say that later, when I was involved in the youth fellowship of our local church, we had an evangelistic outreach to youth. It was one of my very first sermons ever, and I invited some of those former friends along to hear the gospel. And the text was John 3:16. You see, when you're saved to a new life. The old things have to go. All things become new. And this becomes the downfall of so much of modern-day evangelical Christianity. While there is a plea with people to come and trust Christ, there is failure to build the walls of separation, to make that clear line of demarcation, and to live in the light of God's Word. This man, Manasseh, he purged the house of God. And in verse 16, he used his leadership. He used his leadership to build others up in the faith. He repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord. He used his influence the right way. He said, "You can't serve me as king and serve these idols too." And of course, that's often the standard that a father has to have in the home. "You can't be my son and daughter in this home and bring the idols of the world in." Manasseh commanded them to serve the Lord. And we have to do all we can by God's grace. And while words of instruction don't always do it all, we have to plead and pray that they will have a heart to serve the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so there's hope today. There's hope for every parent here today. We have sons and possibly daughters that need the Lord. They have grown up and are now living for the world. Don't give up. Let's pray for their souls. Let's pray for their conversion. They may now be unstoppable in human strength, but the Lord can stop them. And the Lord can give them repentance and turn their hearts to Himself. As a church, as we seek to reach a very ungodly society today, and we still have empty seats, where are the sinners to come and hear the gospel? Let's not give up. The Lord can stop Manasseh. He can stop sinners in Cloverdale or Langley or Surrey or Greater Vancouver. He can turn the hearts of men, and He does. And to some unsaved soul here today, here is hope for you. You may say, "I'm bankrupt. I've wasted every opportunity. I'm a prodigal. I've blown it all. So had Manasseh. But the Lord was entreated of him and heard his cry. And the Lord whom I serve today and this word that I preach, he promises to hear the sinner's cry. He'll hear the cry of your heart when you call on him to save you and to make you right for heaven. Will you come today? Believe today? I plead with you. Don't leave this church without the Savior. Don't resist the message. The thorns are pricking you. The Spirit of God striving with you. Don't leave without getting your soul's salvation settled. And if I can be of any help, I'll be delighted to speak with you further. May the Lord bless his word.
Our closing scripture today is from Joel chapter 2, verse 13. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. What a God we serve. We are invited to turn unto him. And he is described here as the Lord, or Jehovah, our God. The reasons we are to turn, because he's gracious. He will not deal with us in anger if we turn in repentance. He is merciful. He has found a way to pardon, forgive, and bless. He is slow to anger and of great kindness. This is a good and gracious God whom we serve. Therefore, let us turn unto him. Let us give our hearts and minds unto him, and through the Lord Jesus Christ seek him with all our hearts. He has promised that he will be found of us when we seek for him with all our hearts. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.